Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Hager, and I'm here with my co-host, Kylie Fagnano, and we're chatting about women's health to teach you what you didn't know you didn't know.
Hello, Meg.
Hi, Kylie.
Meg, what do you got over there? What you drinking today?
I have a real treat for you all. I've put together a little concoction that's some of you will probably be like, who is this weirdo I'm listening to? I'm never, ever taking advice from her ever again. And some of you will be like, oh my God, this is life changing. So
this is my person.
Yes, exactly. So I am going on a hike later. My sister is still here and she's making me do one of the hikes here that's like super short, but it is such a hard workout, just like a real butt kicker, you know? And so I'm replenishing I'm stocking up on my electrolytes ahead of time. So I don't normally love like the emergency packets. I think there's a lot of like shit in there that I don't want to drink all the time, but I happen to have them in my home. And so I'm drinking the raspberry flavor with a little dollop of spearmint tea. I know it sounds crazy, but with some ice in here, it's just like super, I find it super refreshing. It's very strange, strange
Meg,
combination.
Here's the question that I think is important. How the fuck did you come up with this?
I'll tell you how.
In what universe did you end up on spearmint tea with raspberry emergency in it? What is going on?
I will tell you exactly how. I myself, and also recommend this for some of my clients after we do Dutch testing, if we see that they've got like a testosterone problem or it's either too high or testosterone's too strong, or it's their enzymes are converting too much testosterone, I will recommend such things such as spearmint tea or green tea. So I instead of drinking both or the same thing every single day, I'll often switch back and forth. I happen to know that my testosterone gets a little bit too high during ovulation, which is normal for most people. It does spike a tad during ovulation, but mine just goes a little bit higher than I like. So to help thwart breakouts, I know that when I'm ovulating or in that time, I want to be drinking either spearmint or green tea. So I, once again, was preparing. We were going on a hike, and I hadn't had my spearmint tea for that day. My husband and I were going on a hike. And I also was like, I really just need some electrolytes. It's really hot out today. I knew the hike was an all sun, pretty much. So I knew I was going to be sweating. So I was like, all right, well, let's just throw these two together and see what happens. I had emergency. The raspberry one was what I had in my home. So I just was like, I'm just going to drink it. I don't care. And it actually turned out to be pretty good.
It actually sounds really, really delicious. I could get down with that. I could tell.
Yeah.
I love spearmint. I'm spearmint over peppermint any day, honestly.
Me too. Agree.
Totally.
I will tell you though, hubby, it's not hubby approved. He did not. He immediately spit it out. I was like, "What is
that?"
This?
Means nothing. That means nothing to me.
So, listeners, give it a try if you happen to run into some raspberry emergency and some spearmint tea. Let me know what you think. I won't be offended. I know it's weird, but I think it's good.
So strange. I'm gonna have to try it too. Yes, I'm gonna have to commit to that.
Let me know what you think. What are you drinking? What are we doing over there? What's the deal?
What's the
beverage deal?
So we also just went. This is not even representative of where I got this. we just went for a walk as well. It is so gorgeous here today. Like, the city has come to life. In fact, we were late. I was late to our recording today, you guys, because Brian and I went on a city walk and we just kept going. And that way, by the time I asked what time it was, we were so far away from the house and I didn't have my phone. So I couldn't text Meg. Anyway, we stopped and we got a coffee at this great little spot that we went to when we very first met. And, Brian can tolerate regular milk like nobody's business.
Wow.
It is so weird. And so every time he gets a latte, that's what he likes in it, regular whole milk. But we were just going to share one.
Mm.
I assumed I had run to the bathroom and I just assumed that he would get, a regular milk latte, which is okay for me. I don't prefer it. I don't feel amazing, but it's not like I'm gonna run to the bathroom. I just don't feel great. And
Yeah.
I came out and he had ordered it with oat milk. And then the owner of the place realized that we were sharing it and he said, "Absolutely not. Make another small oat milk latte for this person they're not sharing with." And he just made an extra one. So then Brian wished that he had actually ordered it with the kind of milk he wanted.
Oh my God.
I know. Isn't that sweet? I
That's
know.
so sweet. Now,
Yeah, so that's what we're doing.
the question, are we doing full caffeine or decaf? What's the caf situation over there?
Full calf. I can deal it.
Dang,
I can
girl.
do it. Yeah, it
Woo.
doesn't bother me. I say it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't noticeably. I suspect that there's many sleep researchers that would tell me if I actually measured how well I slept at night, that I could make an argument that it was bothering me. But it doesn't seem to prevent me from being able to. Listen, my whole family, we always at night after dinner make coffee and drink coffee together, and that's just how it always was. It has never been an issue.
Yeah,
Knock on
that
wood. Yes.
that's the Italian gene that I did not get. Did
Yes.
not get the caffeine tolerance,
Yes.
unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you, the one I didn't get was tolerance for alcohol or water, so I had to get
That
one of them.
one. I got that one. That one translated pretty well. We're okay in
That
that
one did pretty
department for
well.
the most part.
Oh my God.
So, do you have a health what the fuck moment you'd like to share with us this week?
It's maybe slightly more mild than some of our other stories, but I had to have
Okay.
blood work done recently. I had to have blood work done recently, and my doctor is freaking amazing, and she orders the most labs, the most labs ever.
That's
If you're
amazing.
going to get blood work, like, you are getting 10 vials minimum strong. I think when I first started, it was 23 that I had. I was like, "Am I gonna be
Oh
okay?" I
my
handed the guy the
God.
order. I said, "Am I gonna be okay after you do all of this?
Like,
Will I be okay?"
do we need to keep some water and like a cot
Yes.
nearby?
I don't
Like,
have snacks
am
with me,
I? Oh
and the
God.
cookies that you offer, I can't have. Am I gonna
Right.
be okay? Anyway, it is always remarkable to me the process that it takes to get something like blood work done.
Oh,
I my my
yeah.
doctor happens to be out of network with my insurance, and I every time I go in, it's like it's Matt, I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced this, but it's just always a fucking thing.
Oh, I'm
Every single
sure.
time. It takes longer for them to look up who my doctor is, and it's always a question of, "Is she a real doctor? What the hell do you think I'm doing here? Is she a real
What?
doctor?" Yes, she's a real doctor. She just happens to do things that work. So she can't charge, and she can't take insurance, unfortunately. That is not a slam on all doctors or all plans. A
No.
little aside here, that's not a slam. Some of you are fabulous.
Little disclaimer.
Little disclaimer, but anyway, that was my moment. And then they sent my blood work to my doctor as they were supposed to, but they didn't get it. Somehow, for some reason, it went to a spam fax folder. Did you
What?
know that
I'm
fax numbers
sorry.
had spam? I didn't know either. I know,
What?
but don't worry, I got it all under control. I got it all under control. I haven't
Okay.
gotten to look at them yet, so we'll see. It was all my new updated thyroid levels. Very important. We'll find out. I'll
Absolutely.
report
Oh
back.
yeah. Yeah,
Anyway, how
please.
about you?
Please
What's
do.
going on in
Keep.
your world?
So, I wanted to share this is a client what the fuck moment. This client is now like well beyond this issue, but it blew my mind. So, She came to me wanting to focus mostly on her acne, and that's very typical when clients come to me. Pretty much their only focus is acne, and then as we start talking and we do all the testing, we can really see it's not actually about the acne. There's so many other things going on internally that acne is just like the manifestation of like the result of
As
what's going
always,
on, right?
right.
Exactly. So we did some testing, and this poor girl, I just, one of the craziest GI map results I've ever seen. I mean, we're talking like, yeah, really high H. pylori, Giardia, which is, so for those of you who don't know, such a pain in the butt. H. pylori is a bacteria that you do not want. It lives in your stomach, and
Also a pain in the ass, to be honest.
also a pain in the ass. But did you know this kind of, I'm sure you know, but like for those of you who are listening, just to give you some context about the differences between a functional test like GI map and a test that a doctor might do for H. pylori, I asked the laboratory from the Diagnostic Solutions Lab once what like how they measure the differences, like why you can have a positive on the GI map for H. pylori and why that same person could still come up negative, like with a breath test or the stool test. And they told me that the conventional test, it takes something crazy, like 15,000 cells per gram of stool of H. pylori for it to trigger a positive, whereas the GI map reports at as low as 1,000 cells per gram of stool. So for those of you, just to conceptualize that a little bit, it's like the red flag or like the gate won't open until you've got like a 20-foot tidal wave like pushing against it to open it. That's the conventional test versus the gate would open pretty easily if there was anything like any resistance at all is a functional test. So it's a that's a little bit of a
That's a
tangent.
great analogy.
Thanks. I mean, tidal waves and gates, I get it doesn't really make sense, but like
No, it
that's
does.
the yeah,
Does
right?
now.
Okay. All right, cool. Good. Glad. I'm glad. But it's a little bit of a tangent, but that's just to show the difference, but that like there are so many different types of testing and some are truly more helpful than others. It's not all what you get at the doctor's office. Anyway, so this
Totally,
client,
totally.
H. pylori, a bacteria you don't want to have. Giardia, which is a parasite you also don't want to have. Another parasite, I always forget how to pronounce it, but it's something which starts with a D. It's like,
Diatomaceous amoeba.
yeah,
I
that
can picture it
one.
on the
Yeah, exactly. You know
test.
which one I'm talking
Diatomaceous.
about.
I do.
Yeah. So all of that, and on top of that, we had serious bacterial overgrowth happening. Like all of the
Oh,
dysbiotic
Jesus.
bacteria, which basically, for
Of
those of you
course.
listening, the bacteria that wants to take over, I call it like the greedy bacteria. They like, if there's food or space, they will take over pretty much in the gut. All of
Love
them.
that.
So there's like all these things going on, and of course, because of that, she's really not digesting well. So she just a lot of things happening. Now, the crazy thing about this client is that she's a healthcare practitioner. And so when I was asking her, like, do you feel bloated? Do you have any of these symptoms? She's like, no, not really. And then after we did the work, she came back and was like, you know what? I was definitely bloated before. I just didn't even know.
Wow. What? We see that all the time,
All the
don't we?
time. Yeah, we really
It
do.
people just live with it for so long, it becomes their norm, of course. And then
Yes.
when you change it, you're like, my pants fit different. I didn't lose any
Right.
weight, but I feel different. Yes.
Totally. Yes.
That's amazing that you
Right?
changed your life. That's wild.
Yeah, and this also ties back to, she came to me originally for acne, right? Didn't even know she was bloated, didn't
Right?
even know all this stuff was going on. And then when we did the test, it was like,
Wow.
oh. And so
Wow.
the health, what the fuck part of this is that when I had seen this test and I asked her about like her antibiotic history, and this is really, really common in people who suffer with acne, right? Because we've all heard you go to the dermatologist, the topicals don't
Accutane.
work, right? The topicals don't work. So the next step is what? Antibiotics, of course. They go through the whole family, all the whole, the minocycline, the doxycycline, all the cycline
Oh my
families,
God. Oh.
right? And the kicker is that often People will be on multiple rounds of antibiotics. Like in my 20s, I worked at a dermatologist's office, so I was popping antibiotics on and off like candy because if I had a breakout, I'd just take an antibiotic. You know, it was just like, it wasn't, I didn't know. And so, anyway,
Oh
extensive,
God, oh my God.
yeah, extensive antibiotic history. Like we're talking strep throat and ear infections constantly as a child, right? As a child, and then all, and then, you know, just random illnesses, and then the acne antibiotics throughout
Oh my
teenage
God,
years
girl.
too. So it's
This poor
just,
person.
right? So it, my, the what the fuck part is like, oh my God. Like how I, sometimes I just wonder how these tests are not more utilized in a conventional setting because they're so
Yeah,
useful.
they're so useful.
And also to highlight the point of it's very possible that you may just, like you said, just be getting used to feeling not great because it's just your norm, you know? So it's just a PSA to all listeners to just really, again, I think I've said this before on previous episodes, your body is smarter than you. So
You have said
listen
that.
to
I
it.
love it. I
Yeah.
love that you say that because it's so true.
So
And
true.
we are so conditioned. We are so conditioned to not pay attention.
Yes.
We are so taught that toughen up. And listen, sometimes that message is correct. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes you got to stop being a whiny bitch and then do something about it. Like, let's just call it what it is. Okay. Sometimes the tough love is totally. Like, I'm a firm believer that that's a little dose of that is okay, but only coupled with actually taking action on the things that need to be addressed. So, oh my God. Oh, I'm so glad that person is so fortunate that she had an issue with acne to come to you. I mean, and you guys, this is decades in the making,
Yeah.
decades in the making. By the time you have H. pylori, you're in a bad spot. You're in a bad
Yeah.
spot. You're not digesting your food. You're opening the door for everything else. That's how you get things like giardia. You guys,
Yes.
we ingest this kind of stuff every single day.
All
Your
the
stomach
time.
acid is too low to kill it off the way it's supposed to. You're doomed. And that's what H. pylori does, right? Okay, we're
Yep.
getting off on another tangent, but
Yeah,
anyway.
we need to, let's do an episode on H. pylori. Let's do
Let's
that.
do that. Okay,
Yeah, let's
done.
do that
Would you guys
because
like that? Let us know. You guys, it's like 50% of the population has this, and we don't know about it. The
Yeah.
reason, but it spreads through saliva,
Yeah.
so it passes so quickly, and that's why it's such an important thing to talk about. Meg, I think your point about the testing for it being a little bit more universal should
Yeah.
be, more of a first line approach. But anyway, nonetheless,
Agreed. Yeah. Well, we will come back. We will return to the H. pylori saga. And in
we'll
fact,
return.
I think that's what the episode should be called.
The H. pylori saga. I love it. I love it. Well, we're not talking about H. pylori today. Today, we're talking about PCOS. We've got Eleni here with us. Hello, friends. Welcome again to the Curious Women podcast, where we're having chats about women's health to teach you what you didn't know you didn't know. Today, we have an amazing dietitian and a dear friend of mine. She is a hormone and PCOS specialist, among many, many other things. But she is here today to shed some light on all of the really confusing, overwhelming, and really kind of emotional aspects that come along with PCOS. So without further ado, Eleni, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love that I can see you both. I feel like I'm with you in Hawaii and DC. I'm
We're
gonna
here in
pretend it's the
spirit.
Hawaii. Yeah, the Hawaii climate.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah,
Let's
it's
be honest
warm
about it.
here. It's
Yeah.
warm here right now, so we'll
Yeah,
all come over this way
I
energetically.
know. I'm like, I'm in Austin and we're getting this winter advisory. Lord knows, like, we all know what
What?
happened a year ago. So fingers
Right.
crossed.
Oh
Texas
God.
doesn't function well with snow, though.
No, we don't. So fingers
No.
crossed. But anyways, it's nice to be with you. Like Kylie said, I'm a dietitian. For those of you who aren't as familiar with PCOS, I'll just describe, I guess, some simple things.
Yes.
First off, it's commonly looked at as a reproductive syndrome. And there's so much evidence and research coming out that PCOS is so much more than that. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I get phone calls from women all the time and they say, I just was given birth control or I just was given this.
Oh, we know this story all too well. Oh my God.
PCOS has a root cause, just like anything else. And so I always say to clients, don't cling to those four letters. They're just letters. It's a way of your body saying it needs support at a root cause. Or
I love that. Root,
like really deep within your body. Because for some women, it could show up as Hashimoto's. For somebody else, it could show up as eczema. Your body is just literally screaming for help and it got labeled something. And it doesn't mean you're going to be infertile the rest of your life. That's like one of the biggest fears.
Yeah, totally.
This is something that we see a lot with IBS as well, where it's just like a bunch of symptoms and people give a name to it, but it doesn't actually change anything or offer them some sort of path forward, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I heard, the main message of what you just said is that PCOS is not the condition that sometimes we're thinking it is. Like, it's not an end all, a condition in and of itself. It's a result of something else. It's just another symptom, like Kylie said, like IBS, or I see this a lot with acne in my practice, you know, so is that all, can you clarify, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so that's how I like to look at it. I mean, I never want somebody to say, I've been diagnosed for 20 years. Don't tell me this isn't real. I'm not ignoring the fact that it's real. There's a diagnosis. There's a criteria women need to meet to be diagnosed. But I just wanted to start out with that because if all your listeners hear is that I actually don't have to fear these four little letters. I can just open up the hood and see what's going on. Then let's do that. And it's a big mindset shift. And we know how powerful the mind is with healing. Totally. So, to be diagnosed with PCOS, the two out of the three criteria is, you have to meet two out of three, like I said. So ovulatory dysfunction, high androgens, or cysts on your ovaries. When I say ovulatory dysfunction, that could be changes in the menstrual cycle. So you have to meet two to actually be diagnosed. Sometimes I see women given the label of PCOS and they haven't even met as well. There is a genetic component to PCOS. So I say that because there is something in your genetic makeup that got a little stressed or a little pushed by your environment. And then the flip went on or the switch got flipped on. And then you were given the diagnosis. So that's where we say, well, how can we manipulate environment? We can't exactly change the gene specifically, but we don't have to fear that. So I want to give more of the science. Like, there's a genetic component. But there's so much you can do to manage it. You have to meet two out of three criteria to actually be diagnosed. And then let's just look at the root and let's see what's out of balance and help your body come back into balance and harmony so that you don't have to fear the four letters the rest of your life.
Oh, I love that.
So are you saying then that if you've been given this diagnosis, it's not a death sentence to anything? You can absolutely sort of come back from that diagnosis. I don't know if you would use the term reverse or heal or cure, but you can come back from it.
Yes. Yes. Every female is a little bit different. I personally completely reversed my PCOS. It's not on my
records.
When I go to the doctors, they're not looking at it.
Wow. But
that being said, because I have this genetic disposition, like from my ancestors, from my family, I live a healthy lifestyle so that my body doesn't flip that switch again. But I don't feel sad or I don't feel jealous because at the end of the day, we should all honor our bodies and live a healthy, balanced life, right? So I don't always use the word cure. I use myself as an example to reverse. Other women have had that. And a lot of women do really well in just managing symptoms. And then they like say, oh yeah, I don't even have to acknowledge those four letters. As long as I lead a healthy life, that feels good to me.
Yeah.
So if you guys get nothing else out of this, please feel the invitation to not live and die by this. Like right there it is. The door has been opened because I think the rest of our conversation here is going to really help. I love that analogy, like lift the hood up and take a look. And I'm hoping what we're going to be able to kind of illustrate here is these are the things that you want to be looking at. These are the questions you want to be asking yourself. And here's how you might choose to go about that. Here's a variety of different options. So Eleni, when you're first of all, how does somebody get tested for this? What might they be
Great question.
experiencing or feeling that would make them go, oh, I'm going to go ask to get tested for PCOS? Like, what does that whole process look like? I actually am not familiar at all with this.
Yes. So polycystic ovarian syndrome is kind of a misleading name for the imbalance because not every female presents with tons of cysts on their ovaries. Oftentimes, what I hear a lot is women are younger, so they're in their teen years. It's been a year, year and a half or two. They don't have that regular cycle. They're starting to gain weight. So now they're dieting, they're exercising, but they're still gaining weight. They're starting to get facial hair. Or the weight gain's not always a thing. Some people see really bad acne, really intense irregular periods, high amounts of stress. So the root cause can be different for every female. But what we're typically seeing is an unwanted symptom or shift in the menstrual cycle or inability to manage weight, even though someone's feeling like they're living a somewhat healthy life. That usually leads somebody to go to the doctor out of frustration of what is this? It doesn't seem normal. Doctors tend to run panels like blood sugar, insulin, testosterone, and they will typically look at the ovaries to see if there are cysts. That's a fairly conventional approach to uncover if it is PCOS.
And do you find that there are any, how do you feel? Do you feel that that approach is, not to say it's not enough, because everybody has the choice to pick the direction they want to go in. And, you know, holistic approaches are not right for everybody and conventional approaches aren't right for everybody. But from your point of view, what do you think the biggest things, is there anything missing maybe from the conventional approach?
So I do want to honor the fact that nobody's trained in PCOS unless you go out of your way. I remember being a dietetics major. I think there was one paragraph in my life cycles book about PCOS.
Right.
At that time, I was like in the heat of it, thinking this is weird because my naturopath is telling me diet is pretty important. So why are we not learning about it? So I preface with that to say the doctor, right?
Guys, this is our own profession. Like, let's just, like, we're calling ourselves out. This is important because if you're going to go looking for a dietitian to help you with this, you want to make sure it's somebody like Eleni who is actually trained in this specific thing. It's not all the same, right? Okay, keep going. I had to make that plug.
So our doctors are doing the best they can with the resources they have. And I'm so grateful for them because when these symptoms come up, just like when they came up for me, you're kind of freaking out and you just want to go see your doctor. And so once you get, even once you get that diagnosis, there is almost something comforting. Like, I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
And then you get the results. Once you get the results, you only have a couple minutes with your doctor and they might suggest again, a medication, possibly a low carb diet. And then that's where women, I think, feel really frustrated and anxious because they were thinking, well, I uncovered it, but now this is all you're giving me. And that's what then leads them to look for more. And I love that, the women's intuition. I tell my clients all the time, I was like, it's your intuition that really guided you to want to look deeper. So I do think 100% we need to be looking at PCOS so different. And that's why I love coming on these podcasts. So thank you, you know, spreading the message. I'm so passionate about shifting how we address PCOS in healthcare. It's not going to change every doctor's office and that's fine, but how can we just get a little bit more information out there? So all said and done, I think it's the first logical step, but it should not be the last step.
Totally. Yeah. Love that.
Such a balanced look, right? Because we've got, all three of us have had a lot of clients come in and say, I had this terrible experience with my doctor. And I think that what you're saying here is so important. You cannot expect something from them that they do not have to provide. If they aren't trained specifically in something, you have to go somewhere where that person is trained so that you can, like you said, seek out more. So when we're talking about what are people seeking for, like when they come to you, what are the base, I don't know, 3 to 5 things that you're like, although the root is coming from somewhere different for each person, What are there some kind of like across the board non-negotiables? This is what we have to address.
Absolutely. So a big one that I hear is I don't know what to eat. I love that we have Instagram and social media, but I'm seeing it cause damage as well from an emotional perspective, because when you have dietitians on Instagram saying for PCOS, just do this, and it's not working for this person at an individual level, or it's not giving somebody enough flexibility, it creates a lot of emotional distress. So they're getting a message from the doctor, they're reading blogs, they're going online. I mean, all three of us are online. It's like you want to provide some information and value, but I encourage people, if you're feeling confused or anxious, don't stop there. Seek a little bit more care or a little bit more structure. I hear all the time, like, what do I eat? Below that, we really work on beliefs around our food, because women with PCOS are more likely to struggle with disordered eating patterns. Not a full-blown eating disorder, but when you're told not to eat carbs, do this, don't do that, it's a psychological mess. And if a female with PCOS who's finally diagnosed was battling weight gain since age 12, they might have been on diets since they were a preteen. And I hear that a lot too. So we're looking at the physical and emotional layers to food. That's a big one for people. And then we're looking at their body systems. So how's your thyroid? We do a little bit of the gut stuff. How's your liver function? Because again, PCOS is not just a reproductive syndrome. It can impact your whole body. Women with PCOS are more likely to have thyroid dysfunction, more likely to have gut issues, at chronic risk for, or a higher risk for, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, diabetes, right? It's kind of like a long-winded answer, but usually we're looking at all of those pieces. Everybody's needs are a little bit different, like how much time you spend, but then we definitely get into movement, sleep, really breaking the social norms, and it's like what's right for your body in this season.
Oh my God, I love that. I love the idea that I say this to my clients a lot too, and I think this is a lot of what you're saying too, is that our bodies are smarter than we are. Like they will tell you,
I
your
know.
body will
It's
tell you
incredible.
when something's up.
Like we've got to get out of here. Like I'm pointing, no, you know, so, like our
Out of
head
your
and our
head.
ego and our subconscious. That's why, you know, I went on to do the NLP, neuro-linguistics programming training, because I just needed to learn more. I'm like, what is going on at this subconscious level? I need to be in a place where I'm always within my scope, but I can understand the client a little bit more, because our
Totally.
subconscious belief systems or our limiting beliefs will keep us from healing. So when you say the body's smart, it's like the body is so smart. But women feeling like their body's working against them, it's hard to put trust in the body.
Oh, a
It is
thousand percent.
it's a mental game that I don't wish on my least favorite people in the world. Truly, it's awful because there's no winning. There's no winning until you decide to just like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna step out of my own way. But it takes recognizing that you are in your own way to be able to do. I mean, here you go. See, guys, I give you a warning. I warned all of you that the rabbit holes were there and we were going to take advantage of this. This is what, Eleni, we talked a couple of weeks ago. This is the same thing that happened. We got totally
No, I love
No,
that.
but
In
how
a
can you
beautiful
not?
way.
Yeah,
It's
but how can you
amazing.
not? There's so much to talk about, and PCOS is such a huge umbrella of topics about everything else. Like,
It
so
is.
we can't really help but dive headfirst down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, you know, I really liked what you said there about it's not just a reproductive issue. And I think really a huge message in integrative health in general is that nothing is isolated to one part of the body or one system. And our conventional medicine is set up that way. You go to the cardiologist, you go to the gastroenterologist, you go to the endocrinologist, and there's not often a lot of intertwining with those things. So you as a person, as a whole being, very rarely gets that sort of approach of like, what's going on with your kids right now? Because that's probably part of what we're dealing with. What does your work look like? Because if that's a stressful part of your day and we can't change that, how do we just support you? How do we provide a little bit of bubble or a little space for the reality of your life right now. And that's the kind of thing that we are asking questions about in order to address this person in front of us as a human being, right?
As a whole, yeah.
As a whole human thing. And yeah, so I guess just to say that PCOS is not an exception to that.
Yeah, I think that's a good segue into understanding that there are different root causes for PCOS. Like you mentioned, you know, if my workday is stressful. So yeah. A root cause of PCOS, one of the root causes can be some sort of adrenal dysfunction. Now, I'm not talking, you know, a clinical diagnosis of adrenal dysfunction, but
right.
If you've been under high amounts of stress. So women with lean PCOS are kind of fit this bill. When I say lean, it means they're not struggling with the weight gain. They might not really struggle with the insulin resistance. This is independent. This is not your ovaries producing testosterone, which happens when a female is overweight, has the insulin picture PCOS. This is your adrenals are producing those higher amounts of testosterone. So that's where we say, have you had trauma? Have you been super stressed out? The perfect female for this is type A, modern woman, high corporate job, kills herself to work and possibly have a family, overthinker.
Not Kylie and I are laughing because I think we're both like, oh my God.
Do I need to get what's going on?
Right? But just one of the root causes. So we do. We have to look at your lifestyle. Yeah. Some other root causes, environmental toxins or inflammation, gut inflammation.
Yes. Wait, I want to stop you there because I just want to, oh my God, this topic is so fascinating to me. Can you, for our listeners, can you dive into a little bit what environmental toxins means? And then my specific question is, are we also talking about the 30 personal care items that we as women tend to use every day, or like cookware? Like, what are we talking about?
Yes, I love that you brought that up because I'm deep diving into that in a training this weekend, and how our beauty products and all of that.
Oh, so fun.
In our hormones. So environmental toxins. I mean, if you live in an urban area, you're just ingesting more toxins in the air, buses, cars. If you're using plastic for your drinking, if you're storing your food in plastic containers, if you're putting on all your beauty products in the morning, I think women are what's the exact statistic? Don't quote me on this, but it's something like women put double the amount of chemicals in their bodies every day than men.
It's something crazy. I know that what you're talking about, and I also don't remember the exact number, but it's something like 20 different chemicals or something like that
crazy
before they even walk out the door. That's insane.
And we're seeing connection between plastic and insulin resistance. We're seeing these sort of toxins connected to PCOS. An interesting study, you know, they had female teenagers shift what they were drinking out of, like from plastic to glass or stainless steel. And they already saw an improvement in hormone.
Oh my God. Oh my Lord. Ladies, put the plastic water bottles down.
Got it. God.
Gotta shift the glass.
That is like low hanging fruit, you guys. There's almost no excuse for needing to use, at least on a regular basis, plastic stuff.
Yeah.
I am a real stickler for that. You can get glass, stainless steel, copper, wobble. It's never ending now. You know,
I'm the same way. My husband was so cute. He went and bought us Tupperware, but he bought plastic. And I was like, oh no. So I went out and got glass, but he was like so upset. He was like, but it's BPA free. Like, I made sure to look. And I was like, oh.
Oh my God.
I was like, good try, champ. Maybe next time.
That is hysterical. Brian's mom got us plastic stuff for Christmas as well. It was like a set and in like a picnic bag. It was adorable. It was like an insulated set. And he goes, are you giving this to us? Mom, you can't give this to us. Kylie is never going to allow. And she was like, are you sure? And he was like, I'm sure. She's going to pretend that she likes it. But I am sure. This is not okay, Mom. You cannot.
I Yay, Brian. Win for Brian.
You just have to push them. It is. It's like, I feel the same way. My partner and I were getting there, and I think the way I described, I mean, I don't think your listeners will care, but he had like the nonstick, and I was like, those are bad for the boners. Like, and that stuck.
Of course it did. Once you say something's bad for the boners, they're in. They're listening
about it. He's like, he can't be eating at a nonstick.
Wait, that's amazing. Let's keep going. Okay, guys. So yeah. Mixing plastic, nonstick pans, using instead what? Copper, stainless steel, cast iron.
Glass. Storage.
I tell people too, if it feels like too much to redo and just get all the glass Pyrex, save an old pickle jar. Save an old jelly jar.
Yes.
Have a salad in there.
That is a genius idea. Oh my God, that's so smart.
That's a really good idea. I'm going to start doing that. You don't have to do this stuff all at once, right?
No.
It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Now, some of you are like me, where it's, you're doing it all or you're not doing it at all. And I more power to you, not a problem. But for the rest of you normal people, just do it one thing at a time. You don't have to make it feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
Okay, what other environmental toxins? I know we were mentioning beauty products, makeup, all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. You can go into cleaning products. You could get, and I don't want to say, I don't want to make people feel bad about what they're doing. It could be laundry detergent. I have a whole non-toxic list. And what I do for clients is we always start with what you drink out of, how you store your food. And then I say, when you start running out of one product, one cleaning product, one laundry detergent thing, one hand soap, go to the list. This will support you forever. Yeah. Keep the list. And then just pick one item from the list or something like it and just switch it out. Toothpaste, right? Like you could go crazy. Hairspray.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So it sounds like the goal, the strategy behind this is start with the things that you come into contact with the most, like what you're cooking with, what you're storing your food in, maybe the personal care products that you wear every day, like a deodorant or a toothpaste or something. Start there and then branch out when you run out, like you said, like then that's when you go to the list. So it doesn't have to be this super, super over. I'm sure some people listening to this are sitting there going, oh my God, I have to get rid of everything. I've been doing everything wrong. And that's not what we're saying here. We're just take it one step at a time, start with the things that you come into contact with the most often, the most frequently, and then you can just, it's a work in progress, it sounds
like. Yeah, and you're never going to be perfect. I mean, I drink out of plastic sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important too. All three of us, it's almost second nature because we've dedicated our life to health, but you have to be flexible when you travel. If I'm away from my home on the weekend or I go on a weekend trip, like I will get a plastic water bottle at the gas station. It's fine.
That's right.
The far and few between is not a big deal. Use the hotel, bar soap if you have to for a week. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just the majority of the time you do the best you can.
Yeah. I think a good way to think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eleni, but I talk to my clients too. I specialize in acne. And so we also talk about toxic load and stuff like that. And so what I say to them, and sometimes I think this helps, is like, you're never gonna not come into contact with these things. Like you're never gonna be able to eliminate all toxins. Your body is naturally able to detoxify much of what we encounter, but modern life just has made it more difficult. So the goal here with these strategies is to lower your overall toxic load. So like make it easier on your body to do its job, essentially, right?
Absolutely, because people might say, the thing that comes to mind, and I don't wanna get too scientific-y, but the MTHFR genetic mutation, right? I have MTHFR. I've got to get tested for this. Well, we've all had these things as long as probably humans have been around, right? Like these things have existed. Our environment has put more load and pressure on our bodies. So I say that because your body doesn't have to be in the perfect state. It is resilient. Mm-hmm. Just give your body a little bit of what it needs every day and it will support you. Don't get a hang up in what faults your body might have. It is resilient and it doesn't have to be in perfect shape to work well.
Right? Yeah. And just for those who don't know, can you just really quickly tell us what MTHFR gene mutation is?
Like, how do I say this simply? It's essentially a genetic
good luck, my friend.
Where sometimes your body cannot absorb or utilize the vitamins to the best of its ability to support your overall health. For some people, that can show
Woo!
up as
That was
mood disorder,
great. Deserve the medal.
inflammation.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I just say that because I think sometimes it's easy to also fall into the mode of like, what if my body can't do this? What if it has this? What if it has that?
You know, this is a message, this is a common message here. It is not always about taking away. Yes,
Yes.
you have to
Yeah.
remove, you have to get the things that are obviously part of the problem out. But then, to your point, your body is amazing and it knows what it needs to do. All you need to then do is give it what it needs to do that job. You need to give it
Totally.
the tools, you need to give it the support. And what might some of that look like when we're talking about liver health and environmental toxins and that idea, right? Like, let's just connect this back to PCOS for a second. We're talking about all of this stuff because it's one of the root causes for a lot of people. Their livers are just totally overburdened and their body is super inflamed and essentially kind of fighting itself because of that inflammation as a result of trying to manage all of these environmental toxins, right? So what can somebody do to support? So yes, we've identified a lot of the stuff that has to come out. What can they do to kind of put back in to support this part?
Yeah, I love that. So, supporting the liver is something I really like to focus on for metabolic health. So, your liver, there's so much like pressure, right? That it gets put under every day to support you.
For those of you
So,
that don't know, the liver, everything has to go through the liver, essentially. Everything that you eat, that you take, like medications, pills, supplements, food, everything goes through the liver. So it's busy, is just the point I want. It's
it's super busy. Yeah. So one of the
busy.
best ways to support that is sleeping enough, right? Like you
Such a good point.
detox, you cleanse, you repair in your sleep. And we've become this nation. I don't know. We think it's cool to sleep less. For so long, I was embarrassed to say I like to sleep 8 to 9 hours a night. And then I'm
I feel that.
yeah, look at that. Like, this is what my body needs. That's
Yeah.
cool that somebody can sleep 5 or 6 hours. Everybody's a little bit different, but definitely getting that sleep in is huge. Adding in nourishing foods for the liver, like dandelion, bitter foods. So there's dandelion tea. Bitter foods are kind of weird for people in this culture because
Yeah.
our taste buds are built on sweet, salty in this country. So I always encourage clients just embrace it as a different taste. That's all it is. We don't have to judge
Yeah.
it. It's a little different. But that
Can you
could
give
look.
us some examples of what bitter
Yeah.
foods are or
Like
drinks?
radicchio is a great one, arugula, broccoli rabe, dandelion greens, turnip greens, beet greens, a lot of foods that kind of look like weeds. But they're typically found in the grocery store if you look hard enough. They're not as desirable. And I always tell people try pairing them with a little bit of olive oil and lemon. The lemon will cut the bitterness a
Cuts
bit.
right through it.
Yep. And
Ooh,
the
good
lemon
tip.
supports the liver too. So adding
Nice.
lemon to your foods, to your water, to your tea. So yeah, just a few key lifestyle tips. It doesn't have to be like you don't have to do these crazy cleanses, you know? You can
Yeah.
support it daily. I think that's the big takeaway. Support your liver daily so that it doesn't get burdened. That could be a cup
Yes.
of dandelion tea. The sleep, right?
Can we
Yeah.
go back to this idea real quick? This is so huge for me. You do not need to do a cleanse. It's not a detox. It's not a thing. I mean, whatever. There's lots of benefits of like giving your body a rest and like a daily, a 24-hour fast or what have you. But like, that's not the thing, you guys. Like, your liver is the detox. That's why you have it. That's what its job is. And that's exactly the message that we're trying to say here, which is support it daily. And it can be as simple as a cup of tea, can be as simple as like including some of these foods in a meal that you're already making. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here, right?
And also, aren't green tea and coffee considered bitter foods as well, or do they work
Yeah.
differently
Yeah, they're within the
from the other?
category. I'm as familiar with the green tea, I don't know, don't know.
I might be mistaken. Because green tea does so many things that, like, sometimes I forget. Probably. I'm like, wait a minute.
probably good for the liver. And, you know, I'm biased in the sense that a lot of things I just listed, you know, they're things I grew up with. We talked about this in the beginning. Yeah. You know, I don't love the flavor of green tea, so I don't know much about it. I encourage clients to drink it if I think it can hurt them. I'm like, coffee? Yeah, I like the flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's bitter. Yeah, that's great.
I feel like you can kind of tell if a food is a bitter food if it makes you like,
yeah,
you know, for those of you who can't see what I'm doing, I'm just like something's bitter, you know?
What a great explanation. That was great. Oh,
anyway,
Eleni, what are some other root causes of sleep and stress and environmental toxins? I know you mentioned gut stuff too, huh?
Yeah, so there's like a few categories that can make it a little bit easier if you're thinking about identifying the root cause of PCOS. So one would be sort of like that adrenal stress picture. Another would be environmental toxins and inflammation. So inflammation can come in all different ways, right? Depending on what our body's responding to. So is there dysbiosis in the gut? Is there something else being triggered in the body? So that's where you just have to do a little bit more digging. Another root cause could be considered the insulin resistance. To me, then we have to ask, well, why is somebody insulin resistant? Are they a high carb diet? Like, what's going on in their lifestyle? And the other root cause we look at is birth control. So if a female had regular cycles, you know, no known hormone imbalances before starting the pill, then maybe they went on it. A lot of women are on the pill for 10, 15 years now easily and get off it. And then they're seeing
join the club. Imbalance.
Yeah. And they're seeing
that was my story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So those are like how we could look at root causes. From there, it's so individualized. You have to, you know, deep. We could have a whole nother podcast about, okay, then what do we do?
On the,
I think we should. We should have a part two.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We'll just schedule that.
Yeah. But I want to ask you, and I know there's a lot of back and forth debate on this, and I know a lot of different opinions. So I'm just curious about what your opinion is. Because you mentioned birth control as a root cause. So are you saying that, in your opinion, there is such a thing as post-pill PCOS, or if that's what it's called?
Exactly. Post-pill PCOS is kind of like what we would label that root cause. You know, your whole reproductive areas being shut down when you're on the pill, right? You're not having a real period. Some women don't even know that that's just a bleed. You're not, your body's not having a cycle.
Can you explain really quickly, like, I think a lot of women maybe don't even know what the pill is doing, like how it works. So can you just briefly tell us, what is the pill doing to prevent pregnancy?
You know, I don't know exactly how the pill works. I'm going to be super honest. I'm not an expert in birth control, but I know is that you're not ovulating. It's essentially shutting down the communication between the brain and the reproductive organs. I think that's like highest level. Jolene Brighton's an incredible provider. She has so much on Instagram. She has Beyond the Pill book. I'm just quoting her name because she gets like deep into birth control. She's like a birth control expert if you want to learn more about that. But if your body is being shut down, it can take a little bit to bounce back. So there is something called the androgen like rebound, where once you're off the pill, sometimes the androgens can go higher. Certain birth control pills can actually create like some blood sugar issues. We're seeing connections in this. Obviously, birth control can be related to mood disorders. Birth control disrupts the gut microbiome. It depletes your B vitamins, your magnesium, some antioxidants. So I never want to shame the pill. There's a purpose for it. It works for women different. Yeah. That's just the information about, depending on your genetic makeup, how could the pill be disturbing the body, right? Blood sugar stuff, or maybe your vitamin depletions, or maybe your brain and reproductive, you know, organs, they can't communicate as well. And we have to, you know, make that work again with herbal supplements and everything else. So I think a lot of different ways and how it could impact somebody, but that those are some good pieces to note of what could be going on.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's never about like telling people they should or shouldn't be doing X, Y, or Z, or this choice is better than that. It's just about giving them the information that they need in its entirety so that they can make the best decision for them. And this kind of stuff is stuff that I was never told before I went on, before I was spent 15 years on the birth control pill, So I wish
Well,
I
that's the
had.
thing. That's the thing. It's not that it's a bad choice, or you're certainly not demonizing it. It's that people are allowed and encouraged to make a decision without having all of the information. And if they had all of the information, it's quite possible that they would have chosen something different for their own bodies and their own health. That is why we are doing this podcast. Plain and simple, right there. Because there's so much information that is, and I'm not, I mean, this is not the downfall of any one system or person. There's just a lot of information and it's overwhelming. It is. So,
Yes,
actually,
ma'am.
on that note, I wanted to ask you, Lenny, if somebody is just newly diagnosed, let's pretend there's somebody listening, newly diagnosed PCOS, kind of freaked out. Kind of relieved because at least they get to name it, right? There's something powerful about that. What would you maybe recommend that they either do or think about that won't be super overwhelming, but will definitely start to guide them in the right direction?
Yeah, so this is where I'll use the term just foundational lifestyle shifts. So, yeah, we can get caught up in the details, make lots of changes. But one simple strategy for somebody is just eat regular meals with a little bit of protein. As females and females with PCOS, we really do better if we're eating throughout the day. There's a lot of information around fasting, intermittent fasting, because we're so hormonally complex, it might not be right, or depending on where you're at in your menstrual cycle, where you're at in your life, fasting might not be right. So I just want to touch on that because I think there's a lot of emphasis on actually skipping meals now. So just eating regular meals, not going more than 4.5, 5 hours between meals. That's like one strategy.
Can you tell us, actually, I love what you just said. If you guys heard our first interview with Lo, we talked a lot about that 4 to 5 hour window and actually really making sure that you are getting that window for gut rest and to support your hormones. And so what she was saying is make sure you give yourself that window. And what we're hearing in this time is don't really go past that window either.
Yeah,
Like
got to be right
really
on the mark.
sure. Yeah.
Set your timers, everybody.
Eleni, when you say normal meal, I think that you're insinuating to both timing and what that meal consists of. So can you just give a little more detail? What does a normal meal with a little protein look like? What is that? Because you know people are thinking like, oh, well, I do that. I have a banana and peanut butter. But is that what we mean or is that not what we mean?
Yeah, so some foundational, plate information I love. I have this cool like plate exercise I go through with all my clients and even through my PCOS course, but we actually look at this visual and we say, what should the plate look like at our meals? We take the diets out of it, the fads, and we look at supporting PCOS at a root cause. This can support different types of PCOS because at the end of the day, we want to balance our blood sugar, balance our insulin, support our gut health, support our thyroid, support our liver, right? We want to address all of this in one plate. So when I say a little bit of protein, I usually emphasize around 3 ounces, like, your standard, sort of like your fist size. That can change depending on where you're at in the time of the month, what your movement looks like. That's individualized. What I'm talking about now is just standard, for listeners.
General idea,
General.
guys. Yeah, that's
Having lots
important.
of fresh veggies. So getting in more fiber and more veggies than you'd probably ever think. Somebody could come to me who's vegetarian, or somebody's done paleo, or somebody's done keto. Well, guess what? That portion of your plate should actually look the same. We all just need more vegetables, fiber, feed our gut, get the vitamins and minerals. And it's not super high in processed carbohydrates, right? But that fiber can really hold us over. Another component is really getting in some good, healthy fats. So fats help with our brain health. They help create cholesterol, which help create hormones. Cholesterol is not bad. It's not like
Cholesterol's not a
anything
demon.
hard.
You can eat an egg, guys. It's
You can eat an egg, great fats in the egg yolk, some good omega-3s, and adding carbs to the plate. Sometimes I have to help clients add in carbs because they've avoided them for so long that their body actually is asking for a little bit of good carbs. So we break down carbs. What are the good carbs? So that's what I mean by, you know, regular meal timing, making sure your plate ideally has most of that. Every meal's not going to be perfect, but don't wake up and just have a bowl of cereal and then skip lunch. Like, you're stressing out your body. So just like a really simple strategy. Working on sleep is another big thing. Another foundational piece is just natural sunlight. Get outside.
Good one. So what do you say to our people on the East Coast and in the Northeast, and anywhere that it's winter for a certain period of time? What do they do? Because they're live in the dark kind of for 6 months out of the year.
You know what I want to point out?
Sorry, Kylo. Sorry, Kylie.
Brutal. Can I put the light a little closer?
Kylie's over there in the light. Sweater.
I took my hat off, but I almost wore it again.
You didn't bring your mittens today, Kylie. No mittens.
Not that pathetic today. It's fine.
Listen, if it were me, I would have brought the mittens too.
Oh my God.
Anyway, go ahead, Eleni. Tell us.
Well, I was going to point out, you know what's interesting? So I've lived pretty much all along the East Coast, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina. So I've had varying degrees of winter months. Like, some it's like New Hampshire's intense. Virginia, I'm like, this is a breeze. Now, living in Texas, people complained about the heat for 7 months. So at the end of the day, people are going to complain. And I'm a very like gentle practitioner, but I just want to tell people who are listening, it's okay to be uncomfortable. Like, you're going to do things that you feel a little uncomfortable in the moment, and then they get better. So I would encourage clients. I worked with a big population out of New York for a few years too. And I would just encourage clients, bundle up, do what you can. Yeah. Go out for 10 minutes after your lunch, as long as it feels safe, like you're not going to get frostbite, but bundle up so you're connecting with natural light. You're seeing a tree, you're hearing a bird. That's so healing for our nervous system, not even just hormones, but your nervous system, because that plays a role too. So I tell people, like, I never say this, but it's almost like a suck it up, buttercup. Do what you got to do. Just get out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, just a little bit of time. Yeah,
I'm gonna echo this. Even in the cold weather here, I just get that exact thing. Bundle up outside in the morning, sunshine in your eyeballs. Hello, there's a big connection to circadian rhythm there, which impacts your gut health, which impacts your hormones, you guys. So you're just like, you're checking all the boxes here. It's nourishing to your soul.
Yeah,
to your soul, which you know. If there is a trauma piece involved in your healing journey, this stuff becomes more important than any conventional approach is really going to highlight for you. You know, it really, again, low hanging fruit. Switch out your plastic and go for a damn walk. You know, this isn't huge, huge stuff, but it's those little consistent changes that end up equating to this really, really big outcome. Is that what you often see?
Yeah, so much. And what I hear, because again, like I said earlier, women are so intuitive. My clients will start going out for walks more. And then they'll say, I love walking. I actually didn't go to my super crazy fitness class. I connected my partner on a walk now. And so I think it's a greater message that you can find so much joy and you almost start to crave it, because it is like this deeper piece of your body and soul saying, this is all I needed. Like, I just needed to get away from the electronics, connect with nature, reset, and not kill myself doing something else or denying myself. People feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Step away. Yeah. Go for a walk.
Step away. And again, we're not saying you have to take an hour. We're not saying you have to use your whole lunch break. Go for 10 minutes and just provide. This is what I was saying. How do you provide a little bubble at different moments of your day to be able to just give yourself a little space from the stress, allow your nervous system to have a damn break once or twice during the day. You know, we're not trying to say you need to quit your crazy job. We understand that maybe you have children and that's really stressful and it's not going anywhere. You know, those are not things that, like, why are we trying to fight that? we can't have that expectation. The same as everything you've been saying, nobody is suggesting that the goal here is to be perfect. That's unreasonable. And we, as women, often do put that expectation on ourselves. So I think you guys' big takeaway here is that all of these little things are meant to be your daily habits, so that when they can't happen, it's no big freaking deal. It's right. No big deal. And it's not going to be, none of you are going to be undone by drinking from a plastic water bottle once in a while. It's not going to happen. You know, you have to think about it from this perspective, while also holding yourself accountable to a higher level on the daily habit piece. Like, sometimes we get to this point where it's like, Eleni, I'm sure you relate to this, where I want to be gentle and I want to be supportive and I want to be mindful and I want, and the like expectation that we're trying to drive home here kind of gets, the lines get blurred and it becomes too soft. And then people are like, oh, well, I went twice last week. I did this thing and, you know, I'm listening to my body. No, no, now you're missing the point. You got to hold yourself to the standard. And then only it's like you have to know the rules to break the rules. You can't stop doing something if you're not really doing it, right? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you see this?
Yeah, and this is a lot of, you know, this gets into a whole other piece of motivation, but I love getting into the topic of value. Like, why don't you value that time? What are your values? So I go down all these rabbit holes with clients because it's so much more than just going, you know, doing the walk. It's like the motivation, the value behind it, shifting value, shifting the limiting beliefs, the old thought patterns, and it all comes up.
I think I'm so glad that you said that, because I'm sure that there might be somebody listening to this and hearing what we're saying and maybe feeling a little discouraged or even defeated, just because life does get so crazy. And they might be sitting there going, oh my God, how am I going to do all this for my body? I want to, but it just doesn't happen. And so these are some really good questions that you mentioned to ask about, like, well, why aren't you enjoying that time? Are you, you know, and again, it's not to blame anybody for why they're not doing it. That's not it. It's just asking, giving you the opportunity to be curious about what's not working. And I love that, because there's got to be room for everybody. And I think that's a great way to do that.
Yeah. I say, you know what, I'm going to ask you questions that you probably didn't think to ask yourself throughout this process together. And it's all questions that's going to help you get curious, explore, connect with yourself more.
Big one.
Get uncomfortable. I mean, let's be honest, this stuff is uncomfortable. It's the reason why people don't recognize it or think to ask themselves the questions, because it's our human nature to stray away from discomfort. But it's so essential. And it's tricky. A lot of stuff comes up. And then you really start going down the rabbit hole. And you start thinking, why am I not have a therapist? How am I surviving? What's going on? And then the cycle just continues to repeat itself until you're no longer in that cycle, actually. And that's kind of the art of this whole thing, isn't it? Is that once you really, really go around enough time, you're going to come off because you've done the work. And I, Meg, I'm glad that you brought that up. For anybody who might be listening and feeling overwhelmed or defeated, I actually think that's okay.
Totally.
It's okay that you feel that way, because it's a normal, natural human response to something that's actually very overwhelming and potentially quite scary, depending on what your history looks like. So welcome. All of us have felt this way before. Mm-hmm. We get you. We see you. And it's okay. Hopefully, some of what we've talked about today, you know, the whole intention here is that you can take one or two or three little pieces and just kind of lighten the load for yourself. And those two or three pieces is going to look different for everybody, but it's something, you know, and some of this stuff doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. Most of it doesn't, you know, you can switch one thing out here and there ever so slightly. And slowly, you know, in a few months time, you find yourself in a totally, totally different reality. That's how it happens. You know, you can go for a walk every morning, guys, and it doesn't take anything out of your day.
That's true. So we talked about walks and connecting to nature as a way to calm the nervous system, maybe help with some of that insulin resistance, and boost insulin sensitivity. We also talked about nourishing foods. So we talked about what a meal should look like, all those components, and what kinds of foods those are. Oh, and I just want to circle back really quickly because I wanted to ask you before, Eleni, when you were talking about it, can you just clarify what processed carbs are for some people? Because I think there might be some confusion there.
Yeah, so processed carbs are essentially our grains that have been literally processed. So we're looking at white bread, pasta, bagels, Pop-Tarts, cereal, crackers, your 100-calorie snacks. So it's not that if you have a little bit of it, oh my gosh, again, like you're not gonna
Yes.
fall backwards, but you just
Right.
don't want to be having it every day in your diet, and you don't want to be having it as a large quantity. So nourishing
It's a treat.
carbohydrates, yeah, it's a treat, it's a small amount. It's a experience. I tell people, if you're eating a food that is maybe a little bit more processed or indulgent, create an experience, have a few bites, enjoy it, and then move
I
on.
love that.
I do
Yes.
too.
I love
Offers a
that.
little bit of like ceremoniousness to it. Is that a word?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we did, so the nourishing foods, what those foods look like. We talked about what processed carbs are. You also mentioned sleep and how important that is. I'm missing some things. Kylie, Ellen, do you wanna?
Natural sunlight
That's right,
exposure,
yes.
getting a little movement in. I think
The
those are just like
toxins. Did we talk about
literally
that?
toxic. We talked about toxins, liver
Oh my
support. I think if
gosh.
you just start with one, two, three, or four of those, or re-listen to this ending of the podcast, remind yourself of what you're not already doing. Those are the foundational pieces.
Yes.
Anything past that can be more detailed, more individualized. Like if you're really ready to do it, it's there.
And should
Yeah.
be, actually. I think that's, I mean, that really is the takeaway here. If you cannot do this on your own, one, that probably means you're normal. It's very overwhelming. It's very complicated. Okay. Even the three of us who are kind of like, we're experts in this field, have our own people because you can't do it. You can't be your own person. It's too much. So if you're realizing that about yourself, welcome. Welcome to the club. And two, seek out that help. Maybe you start with some of these suggestions and you kind of clear the windshield, so to speak, so that you can really clearly understand the aspects that you need more guidance on. And then you can seek out the exactly perfect person to help you. But I am going to encourage everybody not to get too frustrated with conventional methods because they're not necessarily designed to do a deeper dive. It's just, and we shouldn't hold that against it. It's simply not the purpose. People who are working in that system have to work in that system. So you got to step outside of that. And then you can be frustrated if you're promised something and it's not being delivered, So don't forget that piece. I find myself repeating that to people quite often. Just as, human to human, I really do think most of us in these various health field professions, we're here for a reason. And just because you're not getting help doesn't mean that their intentions are poor. Just simply might mean that you need to seek it from the person who has it to offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I feel like you're saying that like everybody has a puzzle piece and like it fits with a practitioner in a way. You know what
That's
I mean?
right.
Like that's I think what it.
Yeah, so
So
don't be discouraged, is what I'm
yeah,
saying.
right. So the first step is pick one of these pillars or two that we talked about. It sounds I think there's five of them that I counted that you can start with. See what's missing from your life and see what you can prioritize and what's doable.
Yes,
Biggest,
what's
biggest, what's
doable.
doable for you. See how far that can get. I'm sure that that would be immensely helpful for a lot of people. But if you need more help, they can follow you on Instagram. Your handle is PCOS.dietitian, right? And you also have a really awesome program that they can work with you.
Yeah, we've got a few things going on. So I've got individual programs, depending on where the person's at, what they need. Again, it's all tailored to them. So if somebody's interested in working one-on-one together, just signing up for a complimentary call on the website, women'snutritionclinic.com, can also be found through the Instagram handle. And I created a PCOS course because, again, I felt this need when people get out of the conventional medical side of it. It's like, what is the foundational stuff? So the foundational pieces we just talked about, I go into it a little bit more. I give you a little bit more step by step. I give you even a little bit more information, support. So that can also be a great like first step if people are like, just give me the foundations, and then if I want individual, I'll go from there. I worked so hard on this course in the way of I had to like sit with each module and say, does that feel like it's going to fit the need? 12 years ago, whatever, when I got PCOS, this was all I needed. This would have saved me so much anxiety.
I bet.
What, how do I need to structure it so that somebody feels like they just get it at their fingertips until they meet individual or they just have that peace and that's what supports them. So that's a great like starting point, or I would say like, and you know, do your pillars here and then start the course. So those are good ways to get
That's
connected or learn more.
amazing.
Oh my gosh, we have to do a part two. I have so many more
I know,
questions.
me too. I'm like looking at the time and I know that you have exactly 4 minutes before you have to go to medical. So we're gonna wrap this up. But you guys, we're gonna put the link to everything that we talked about in the show notes so that you'll have access to it. I think if you need a quick recap, pop to the end of this recording again so that you can just remind yourselves of what those kind of five different options are. And then don't be afraid to reach out to any of us, Eleni particularly, and ask questions if you're needing a little extra guidance on, you know, what's that next step that you take. And most importantly, remember that it is fine that you feel uncomfortable or scared or overwhelmed. It's part of the process. You will not be here forever.
Absolutely. And there's
Eleni,
things we can do. Thank you so much, Eleni. It
thank
was
you so
so
much. This
nice.
is amazing. Can't wait for round two.
Yeah.
So
Yes.
fun.
Bye-bye, guys. See you.
Bye.
Hey, all, thank you so much for listening and being here with us. It really means the world to us. And we want to let you know that we really love to hear from you and we want to know what you're more and more curious about. So if you are having a particular experience and you'd love for us to track down an expert to try to teach everybody more about that, let us know. Or on the other hand, if you have had an amazing experience with a practitioner who you think would be really great for our show, let us know. We would love to try to bring them on and spread the good news. Thank you so much. Let us know. We're happy to hear from you.